This evening we're turning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. We should be looking at the passage, really, that begins from verse 15 down to verse 21. But central to our thinking will be the 18th verse, where the Lord Jesus Christ utters some remarkable words. Having heard of the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he says to the disciples, "Bring them hither to me. Bring them hither to me." And the overarching theme that we're going to be looking at this evening is that of consecration. This is a very unpopular subject, I think, in our day. Consecration, the act of devoting ourselves to the Lord and to his service. It's something that doesn't seem to be spoken of quite as much, perhaps, as it would have been in earlier days. But it is such a wonderful thing, and it is so helpful for us to consider. And as we look at this passage, I think you'll agree at the end of the evening that it has some remarkable things to teach us about devotedness to the Lord and acts of consecration. Well, this is the feeding of the 5,000, as you'll know, and you'll remember from our scripture reading. And generally speaking, we would apply the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 in an evangelistic context. And it certainly principally is about salvation and about the provision that God has made for us in coming in Christ to suffer and die upon the cross so that we can be fed, so that we can be nourished by his salvation. But the teaching here for us as believers is inescapable, and it's wonderful. I don't very often have a 3-point sermon, but tonight I have, and I can tell you my 3 points. The first is the inadequacy of the means. The second, the miracle of the means. And thirdly, the greater multiplication of the means. Very simple thoughts, I hope, but we'll trace them from the account that's given to us here. Well, you'll know that the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read the chapter, had just heard of the death of John the Baptist. And he went to be alone. He went to separate himself from all company so that he could be alone. He knew grief. And the news of the death of John the Baptist, even for the Son of God, there was that natural grief that he felt. And so he went to be alone. But of course the people heard that he had taken a ship and gone across to the other side of the sea, and so they followed him. And in verse 14, there are these remarkable words, "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude." And he wasn't irritated that they'd followed him. He wasn't frustrated that his desire to be alone with his Father for a season had been interrupted. No, we're told he was moved with compassion toward them. Such was his love. Such was his concern for the people in all their needs, that as he saw them and as he saw them approach, he was willing to act and to be a blessing to them. And he healed their sick. Now, I can't imagine what 5,000 people coming towards me would look like. But we're given the impression, and I think it's right, that this vast crowd, 5,000 men, plus the women and children, maybe approaching 10,000, perhaps even slightly more, among them, each and every one who was sick was healed that day. A remarkable thing in and of itself. Everyone who came to the Lord Jesus Christ with a need, a specific need, a very individual need, he would touch them. He would put forth his power so that they were healed of their diseases. But the day, of course, therefore, was taken up. A much time now passed, and it was the evening was approaching. And in verse 15, when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. They need to be fed. The crowd are now hungry. We need to send them away so that they can provide for themselves. And in answer to this great need, the Lord Jesus Christ said something remarkable to the disciples in verse 16. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. You feed them. And it was in response to that commission, as it were, to the disciples to feed the vast crowd, that they perhaps initiated this search, going around to find what food was available. And the search was, well, frustrating, I should imagine, for them, because the sum total of all that they could find were those 5 loaves and 2 fishes. In John chapter 6 and verse 9, we're told they weren't even their own, but they belonged to a young lad who seemed to have come with a packed lunch. In John 6 verse 9, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and two small fishes, hardly worth mentioning. Obviously insufficient for the feeding of this vast crowd. And there they were, standing before the Lord, with means that were insufficient for the great need that was before them. And it's in this context that the Lord Jesus Christ said to the disciples, bring them hither to me. Bring them hither to me. They are inadequate, vastly inadequate, hardly worth mentioning. But bring them hither to me. Jesus was going to do something amazing with just those few items of food. Now, it's important for us to realize that the Lord Jesus didn't need those 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed the vast crowd. Because of who he is, he could have created food. He could have miraculously produced food to feed the entire crowd. But he chooses to use even these inadequate means to perform this mighty miracle. Well, you know, there's a great parallel between the disciples and us. And we too have a commission. We're surrounded on every side by people who are in desperate need, who perhaps are unaware of the great need that they are in. Of course, I'm speaking of the need of the soul, the need of pardon and forgiveness, the need of salvation, the need of a relationship with our God. And each one of us, of course, before our conversion, and all who have never come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in our society, in our families, in our workplaces, in the community that surrounds this church, are in that situation of great need. And we go to the Saviour. What can we do? And you know, the Saviour speaks to us just as he spoke to the disciples. He says to us, both as individuals, as families, and as a church, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. I commission you to feed the people, to give them that spiritual food that they need so desperately. And like the disciples, when we see how great is the need, and we begin to cast our eyes around to look at the resources at our disposal, we're dismayed. However can it be done? However can we reach the people? We look at ourselves. Who are we? We're disregarded by society at large. Society as a whole despises the Christian church and the message of the Word of God. Society as a whole has a campaign that is being waged actively at the moment to do everything in its power to curtail and to limit the opportunities for Christian testimony and witness in the workplace, in the community, even in the Sunday schools, and no doubt long term will seek to impinge upon the general ministry of the church. Who are we? We're just ordinary people. no great powers, no great gifts, no wonderful orators. We can't command an audience with the people. We have no access to media and so on to get the message across. Very, very limited resources. A small gathering like us. How can we reach a community? How can we change, as it were, the direction that East Dulwich is going in? And ensure that all within the community hear of the message of the gospel. You know, even if we get a hearing, so often we're dismissed and the door is slammed shut in our face. We're busy, there are pressures on us, time is at a premium, we have limited resources, all in so many ways, just like the disciples, the resources at our disposal compared to the greatness of the task are pitiful and hardly worth mentioning. And yet, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the same way as he spoke to the disciples, says to each one of us this evening, bring them hither to me. Bring them hither to me. And in those words is a wonderful and an amazing implied promise. And just as he acted in the feeding of the 5,000, there is this implied promise that if we consecrate that which we have unto him, if we devote unto him our lives and our resources, he'll use them in remarkable ways. Well, these words of the Saviour are very beautiful. They are amazing. But they, if you look at them just as words, they seem almost to be an excess of words. Bring them hither to me. He could have said, bring them to me. He could have said, bring them hither, or to update the language, bring them here. But he says, bring them hither to me. There's that excess of words, and that's important. Because what the Saviour is saying here, he's drawing attention to the fact that they are to be brought to him. Bring them here to me. There's the emphasis, you see. Bring them to me. It is the one to whom we devote them, the one to whom we take them, the one to whom we give them that is at the center of all this. And we need to remind ourselves that we are in acts of consecration. We are devoting ourselves and our substance to him. And it is his power and his person that is important. And it is our faith and our trust in him and his promise that assures that great things will be accomplished. Oh, he is so wonderful. We have seen in the scriptures countless demonstrations of his wonderful power. We look back upon his earthly ministry complete. We've seen and heard his gracious words. We have read of the amazing acts and miracles that he performed. We read of how he was put upon the cross and suffered and died on behalf of his people and rose again on the third day. We know something of his amazing, his mighty power. And therefore we know that in every act of devotion and consecration, we are devoting and giving to the one who has all power and all authority. So what is it that we are to bring and to devote to our Saviour? Bring them hither to me. Well, a number of suggestions. Bring to the Saviour your gifts, your graces, your capacities. Everyone who is a child of God here this evening has a particular set of gifts, and they are just that. Like the five loaves and the two fishes. They were not the property of the disciples. They belonged to another. And our gifts, the capacities that we've been given, we hold them in trust. They've been given to us. But not just for our personal use, but for our use in the service of our great God and our King. And so we bring our gifts. What is your gift? What particularly has the Lord given to you as a gift to use in his service? Well, there are many gifts, And they're all wonderfully useful. Are you a practical person? Well, there are lots of things, practical things that need to be done in the running of the church. Are you prepared to use your gift to further the cause of the Saviour? Moving chairs and tables around, helping practically with cleaning and preparing the house of God for worship, tidying up the surrounding the garden, keeping that neat and tidy. These are very practical things, but they're so necessary for the functioning of the church. Are you prepared as an act of consecration, a deliberate act, as it were, to say, Lord, please use even my practical gifts in the advancement of thy cause and of thy kingdom? Are you the sort of person that gets along well with people? Could you use that gift? Would you devote that gift to the service of the Lord and be the sort of person after the service that can turn to another and introduce yourself and present a friendly face to the newcomer and be a help perhaps without having to overstep the mark, but just by gentle encouragement and a smiling face and a kindly word, helping the person who is new to these things to become established? Are you artistic? Could you use those skills for the work of the Sunday school perhaps? Are you a teacher? Could you teach the Sunday school? Or have you stood back? Have you been unwilling, as it were, to commit to an act of service or to consecrate our gifts and our talents in the service of the Lord? Is a wonderful thing. But then what about our resources? We have our gifts, our capacities, our talents. What about our resources? I'm not just talking now about financial resources, but a word on that, of course, is necessary. The things that we have, the things that the money that we have at our disposal, like everything else, we hold in trust. God has given to us, and we are responsible before Him for how we dispose of it. Do we ever, as a conscious act, make a separate act, as it were, of consecration, give something to the work of the Lord? But then what about our homes? Are our homes for ourselves, or are our homes given to the Lord for His service? Are we willing to be hospitable and keep an open house for the benefit and blessing of others? What about our cars? Not all of you, of course, will have a vehicle, but if you have a car, is your car your own, or will you consecrate it to the Lord's work and be prepared to bring in a Sunday school child, or help someone who finds it difficult to come out to worship, and commit to collecting them and bringing them into church? What about your time? Time is at a premium, isn't it, in these days when everybody is so busy, and the demands of work seem to be increasing more and more, and there are demands made on our time here, there, and everywhere. But when it comes to serving the Lord, do we devote part of our time? There are times which are non-negotiable. I keep my Friday in the evening for the children's work. There are the meetings in the week, the prayer meeting on a Monday, the Bible study on a Wednesday. Oh, if at all possible, that time is set apart. That's a special time. And I don't give up that easily. I want to be there. I want to give that time to my Lord. He'll receive it and He'll bless it. We give of our time. We give of our time to acts of service. The distribution of the calendars in this week to come, an important work. But who will do it? Will it be the faithful few, the ones that can always be relied upon? Or will there be someone who says, now I see the point, the need, the necessity of devotedness and consecration, and as the Lord gives opportunity and as He gives me strength, I want to do what I can to support the work and give of my time willingly. Of course, ultimately, when we ask the question, what are we to bring? We are to bring our very selves, our lives, and give them over to him and place ourselves at his disposal. Lord, I am nothing. I have so little. I can accomplish so little, but Lord, I willingly present to thee my body, my life, my all, for thee to use as thou wilt. And that's the only fitting response to this invitation from the Saviour. Bring them hither to me. But you know, these are wonderful words because they tell us a number of things. Let me tell you one or two things that these words imply. Bring them hither to me implies that the Lord will receive that which we bring. We feel it very inadequate and unworthy. But you know, we bring what we are, we bring what we can, and he promises to receive and to use and to bless them. And that's a lovely thought. I feel pathetic when I think of what I am and what I could contribute. And yet this promise implies that my Lord, my Saviour, will receive me and use me in his service in some remarkable way. What a wonderful encouragement to be devoted to the service of the Saviour. He'll reject nothing. But there's a counterpart to that, of course. Bring them hither to me implies bring everything. He didn't say, well, give me the loaves and you keep the fish, or I'll have a couple of the loaves and one of the fish. No, bring them hither to me. Bring it all. Bring it all. Hold nothing back. And that's important too, that our acts of consecration should be very complete in and giving and presenting all to the Saviour for his use and in his service. It's our natural tendency, unless we consider this and act upon it, that we might only bring a part and hold back something for ourselves. But this is an act of total consecration. Bring them hither to me. Bring it all. Bring everything. This little phrase also says, bring it in faith. I wonder what the disciples felt as the Saviour said to them, bring those 5 loaves and 2 fish to me. I fully expect, because they'd seen even that day wonderful healings, that there was a sense of anticipation. What's he going to do? How's this going to work out? Something surely amazing is about to happen. And that, of course, we know is exactly what did occur. But as we bring to the Saviour that which we consecrate to him, we must do so in faith. We must do so not, as it were, grudgingly, handing it over because we feel duty bound to do so, because there's a command in the Bible we feel that we ought to, and so almost reluctantly we do it. No, no, that would never do. We do it in faith, trusting him that something great, something amazing is going to happen as a result. But there's something else. Bring them hither to me. Bring them now. Bring it now. That's vital. The need is now, and so it must be brought now. But it also has to be now, because those 5 loaves and those fish are perishable. If you delay, if you hold them back for another day, they're not going to last. They're available now, and they may not last. They've got to be brought immediately. And you know, that's so helpful to us too. Acts of devotion. Do it now. Oh, devote your life to the Saviour. Give your life to him. Give over all that you are, all that you have to him. The need is desperate now. And you know, your gifts, the particular capacities that you have, Who knows how long you'll have them? They say that if you don't use something, you'll lose it. And that's very true. But if you don't devote it to the Lord, those capacities, well, you may not have them in a few years' time. They may not be your strengths then. You have opportunities now. Devote them to the Lord. They're perishable. Opportunities pass. You're a student. You're in school. You're moving among young people who are willing perhaps to hear and to listen. Well, those days are quickly over and you'll enter adult life. Oh, don't leave, enter adult life with regrets that opportunities that were available when you were younger weren't taken. You're in a particular place with a particular person, open to the gospel, opportunities. Who knows how quickly that opportunity may be snatched away? So opportunities like the food also are perishable and prone to change. The means that you have at your disposal, your home, your income, your time. Who knows what's going to happen in the days to come? Whether you'll still have that employment or whether you'll have to take something where you don't have so much disposable income, where you don't have the resources that you had at one time. You have at the moment a measure of health and strength and vitality to throw yourself into the work of the Lord. Who knows how long that strength, that health will last? An opportunity may be snatched away. No, like the food, the loaves and the fishes, the means that we have, small, insignificant as they are perishable. They're prone to change, and therefore our acts of consecration must be now. Bring them now, devote them now to the Saviour. So we've seen the inadequacy of the means, but the wonderful implied promise of the Saviour, bring them hither to me. But what did the Lord Jesus do with those loaves and fish as they were presented to him? And this is astonishing. Verse 19. He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke. It was the blessing of the Lord Jesus that enabled the great miracle of the multiplication of means to take place. These poor, pitiful loaves and fish, he looked to heaven, he blessed, and he broke them. And it was as he blessed them that they were multiplied. But here's the astonishing thing, the end of verse 19. And brake and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. You know, we can pass too quickly over little phrases in the Bible. What was the commission that the Lord Jesus gave to the disciples? Give ye them to eat. We can't do it. We don't have the means. Well, bring such as you have, bring them hither to me. And as they are given to the Saviour, he enables them to perform this impossible commission. Because as he blesses and breaks the bread and the fish, he gives it to the disciples, and the disciples are then able to take and to fulfill their commission and feed all of that crowd. You know, that's the same for us. We've seen how inadequate we are for the great task that we're called upon to fulfill for the sake of the Saviour. We can't do it, it appears, with the means that we have. But if we are consecrated to him, if we give to him that which we have, if we devote to him ourselves, he blesses and enables us to fulfill the commission he's given us. And those hard to reach children will gradually become great listeners, and we'll see salvation among the Sunday school children. Those houses that were so hard to reach, well, we find that there's a ready hearing for us unexpectedly. Oh, the great blessing that the servants of the Lord have seen over the years as they've been devoted and consecrated to the service of the Lord. The Lord has enabled them to fulfill what appears to be an almost impossible commission. And there's a great principle here. It's to serve others. The means are multiplied, but it's to serve principally others, to be a blessing to others. He gave the loaves to the disciples and the disciples to the multitude. Oh, the great blessing of acts of consecration is that the experience of Christians is that whenever we are devoted to the Lord, we see wonderful things as his cause is advanced in ways that are unexpected. But you know, as I indicated earlier, there is a greater multiplication of the means. And we see this down in verse 20. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. Now, we're not specifically told this, and maybe this is my overactive imagination, but to me, that's one basket per disciple. One basket per disciple, a full basket at that, of the fragments that remained after this incredible miracle. Remarkable that so little could feed the multitude and then give to each of the disciples a basket full of fragments. What were they going to do with the baskets? John, in his account, tells us that the Saviour encouraged them to gather the fragments. He said, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost, nothing must go to waste. Well, the disciples had eaten. They didn't need the food for themselves. Verse 20 said, and they did all eat. And that's a comprehensive all. All of the multitude, the men, the women, the children, the disciples, and the Saviour, all were fully satisfied by the breaking of the bread and the fish by the Saviour and his blessing of it. And now they've got these baskets full of food. What are they going to do with them? This is perishable food. It's not going to last. What are they expected to do with the baskets? Well, they had to act quickly. They had to find others who needed food and sustenance. They had to become a blessing to yet more people so that nothing would be lost. Oh, this is real multiplication of the means. And there's a wonderful lesson and an encouragement to acts of consecration in this. You know, when as the Lord's people we consecrate ourselves to him, he uses us to fulfill the commission that he has given to us, as we've seen here. And then on top of those things, he gives us yet more. Now, you know that I'm not here talking about a prosperity gospel. I'm not saying give to get. I'm not saying if you give something to the Lord, he'll enrich you. Nothing of the kind. This is all so as to be a help and a blessing to others. The disciples were filled. They had to find others who were in need. But that's how it works in acts of consecration to the Lord. As we devote ourselves to him, he gives us more in return, that we can be a yet greater blessing to others also. Now, in our own church at the Elephant, we see illustrations of this, and I'm sure you've seen it here in the work at East Dulwich. But in our Sunday school, new people come into the church and they hear about the work of the Sunday school, and perhaps they're asked, would you like to help? And as they're asked and approached, it's not their natural gift, they feel, to be involved in the work of the children. I'm not used to dealing with children. How will I ever be able to do that? And yet, they see it as the call of the Lord and they give themselves, they consecrate themselves, they devote themselves to that work. Perhaps they go on a minibus and they call for the children and bring them in. Well, that act of consecration and devotion very often leads to a real love and affection for the children. And the conversations begun in the bus on the way into church gives them a new feeling of desire to be involved, perhaps at a deeper level, in the work of the Sunday school. And pretty soon you find that they're saying, could I have a Sunday school class? Could I teach the Sunday school? Would you train me so that I can be involved in a deeper way? So one act of devotion leads to the recognition of another gift. God gives something else so that they can be an even greater blessing to others within the church. We see it too practically. Would you like to come and help us at one of our Saturday work parties? We often ask. We're doing some painting and decorating. I can't paint. I'm useless. I'm all fingers and thumbs. But they come. They commit. They devote themselves to the task. And they come along and they learn how to paint. And pretty soon you find that they go home and they paint their own house. I'm not saying that you should paint your own house and make it more elaborate and wonderful than it should be. But there was a room that needed decorating. In the past, because they felt they had no talent for it, they would have brought a decorator in and paid for it to be done. But now they go home and they decorate it themselves. With this new skill that they've learned as they've devoted themselves to the Lord, they've saved some money. And they're able, therefore, to give more to the work of the Lord. And that act of devotion has freed up resources to be put back into the work of the Lord. And time after time, we see this practically. One act of consecration leads to more given so that we can then have further acts of consecration and usefulness for the Lord. And that's the greater multiplication of the means. Yes, we have a tremendous task, too big for any of us, too big for even the gathered church, far beyond our capacity. But if we heed and listen to the invitation of the Lord, bring what you have, bring it hither to me, I'll multiply those means. I'll enable you to perform the commission that you have to reach the neighbourhood. And I'll so bless you that you're then enriched to be a further blessing to that community. And this is how the church grows and is blessed. Well, it's an old-fashioned word, consecration, but it's a wonderful thing. And if each one of us as individuals, and even as a church, consider this thought of consecration, bringing, devoting to the Lord that which we have, oh, how he'll use it and bless it in a remarkable way. And he'll multiply those means far beyond what we could have expected. And we'll see marvelous things for which we'll have cause to praise and thank him for years yet to come and throughout all eternity. May the Lord help us to be devoted to the service of our Lord in whatever way we can. Let's pray. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee that in thy word we see so much to help us and encourage us in all our labours for thee. We thank thee that thou hast commissioned us to a great work, and though we feel personally and collectively inadequate for that which has to be done, we thank thee for thy call to us to bring that which we are and that which we have unto thee. Oh, use us, we pray. Use our means. Use all that we devote to thee and do great things and bring glory to the name of our Saviour. For we ask these things in his name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.